Well, tonight we are going to be talking about, or the title of my message, I should say, is What Are You Worried About? What are you worried about? Talk a little bit about worry and stress. Not good things. But we're going to look on what we're supposed to be doing, not doing those things. Amen? You know, there's no reason for us to always be going around stressed out. We tend to do that sometimes, to get all upset over things, especially, you know, the last little while, it's easy to get into a tizzy over what's happening, right? You know? How many of you watch the news? You turn on the news. Anybody watch the news? You turn on Facebook and you see reports and bits and pieces of stuff, or on Instagram or whatever you're on, you know? And you don't hear a lot of great things, you know? You just don't. You don't hear, I mean, there's not a lot of good stuff yet you hear. They always focus on the bad stuff, right? You know? But let me tell you something. We need to be focusing on the good things. Because it doesn't matter what the world is saying, what the news is saying, what online is saying. The only thing that really matters is what the Word of God says. Amen? I mean, today, that word tariffs kept popping up again today. It seemed like every news outlet, that was their favorite word again today, was tariffs. You know? I mean, but, you know, let me tell you something. They're not going to control us. They're not going to dictate to us because we belong to God. Amen. Amen? Amen? They might try and do some certain things. The devil might try and get you down, might try and get you in fear. But listen, if you belong to Christ and you know what the Word of God says, and we're going to see what the Word of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And God's going to supply. God's going to make a way. I've talked with many people, and they're worried. They're worried about what their finances is going to happen to, their jobs and different things like that. There's a lot of people that are worried right now in this world. But you know what we got to do is we got to be an encouragement. Now, in the scriptures, I want to turn over to the book of Acts. And we're at Acts chapter 12, and we're going to look, start in verse 5. And this is a fantastic story here, or instance of somebody that should have been worried. Notice what I said? Should have been. So we're going to read this whole thing here in the New King James Version. And it goes like this. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But a constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod heard when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Oh my Lord, I cannot speak. Sorry. He was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was having a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And then Peter had come to himself and said, "For I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he made way to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. When many were gathered together praying, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhonda, came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now, verse 5, it says, Peter was in prison and he was sentenced to death. Peter, the next morning, was technically supposed to be killed. Now, we also see here, but the church was doing something. What was the church doing? The church, a constant prayer was offered to God by the church. Now, we also see in verse 6, move down a little bit here, tells that Peter was sleeping between two guards. So there's two guys on either side of him. And now in reality, I want you to think about this. You're arrested, you're in prison, you're going to be killed tomorrow. Would you really be sleeping? Really, wouldn't you be thinking about some stuff? I'd probably be a little stressed. Just slightly stressed. Maybe suffering a little insomnia that evening. You know what I'm talking about? But it says there that the angel come down and actually had to kick him to wake him up because he was snoozing so hard. Our dear old buddy here, you know, Peter, he was sawing logs. You know, he was snoozing. He wasn't really worried. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because here's this guy, tomorrow is his expiry date, and he's snoozing away to the point to when the angel come down to free him, the angel had to give him a boot to wake him up. I want that type of peace, man. You know? I want to have a nap like that. You know what I'm talking about? To where, you know, the angel got to slap you to wake you up. I mean, that's a good sleep right there. You know? I mean, that's something else. But you see, that shows that this guy, he must have knew something. He had some peace. The church was praying. You see what happens when believers get together and pray? Stuff changes. Stuff happens. The poor guy was in prison. He was arrested, condemned to death. But he wasn't worried. Not by any showing here in the scriptures. Let's keep going. Now, this was a pretty big issue that Peter was facing. Death. You know, to be executed. He was actually going to be killed. But look at Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 7 real quick. I want to show you this. Because this is what Peter had. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You see, the church was praying. Peter knew who he was, and Peter experienced a few things. He knew what was up. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think, I'm sure, you know, it might have bothered him a little in the beginning. But when you look at it and think about it, and the scripture even tells us, you know, that as believers, to die is to gain. You know, it's like you really can't tempt a Christian with death because we're going to go to glory with our Heavenly Father, you know. Now, if you stay on this earth, and you know, I pray everyone has a long life, right? That's absolutely important. But if for whatever reason you leave this earth, you know, you're going to go to glory. That's exciting right there. So Peter knew what was to come, but his job, his work wasn't finished yet. But let's focus in on this peace that he had. Because, I mean, we could be stressing out about stuff. I mean, we could be stressing out about our next paycheck or about a relationship issue. Or we could be stressing out about so many different things. How many of you this week you've had opportunity to be a little concerned about something, a little bit worried about something, a little stressed about something, right? You know, yeah. I mean, you think about that. We all had opportunities to do that. But you see, if we rely on the Lord and trust in Him, He's going to guide our path and help us out. Amen. Are you listening? Yeah. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us another good thing what we should be doing. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He what? For He cares for you. Our Father only wants the best for me and you. He doesn't want you stressed out. He doesn't want you full of worry. You know, worry doesn't add any days to your life. Stress doesn't add days to your life. Medical doctors would tell you stress and worry and anxiety will actually cut your day short. So why should we be worrying? You know, I want to have a long life and a satisfied life. Amen? Anybody else here like that? Amen. I want to live all the days that God has promised for me. And I want to be able to fulfill them and live them to the fullness. So therefore, now, don't get me wrong. There's moments when I definitely get into probably more worried than what I should. Right? But I know none of you guys are like that, right? I mean, no one does that, no? We're going to have an altar call for lawyers right after hearing this. No. I mean, we all have these opportunities. And we're human, and we use that as an excuse sometimes. But we need to not worry so much and cast our cares on the Lord before he cares for you. Right. There's certain things in this life that we got no control over. There's a lot of things in this life. I'm married. There's a lot of things I don't have control over. But Kendra's back there, yep. Preach, brother. You better preach, boy. Yeah. But I will tell you this, is that when I realize that if I'm dealing with things or struggling with something, and when I try to deal with it on my own and my own strength, it usually falls flat. It usually just doesn't work the way that I want it to work. And I've been often reminded of the story of Peter when he was in prison. You know, just the two guys there between them, and he's snoozing. And the angel came down, gave him a boot, and said, "Wake up, buddy, we got to go." And he was such in a stupor because he was still groggy from his good nap that he made it all the way out. And then all of a sudden he came to and realized, wait a minute, I thought I was dreaming. You know? That was such a good nap he was having. We need to give all of our carries, all of our worries, all of our concerns, all of our stresses. We're not to be worried or in fear. The Bible tells us to not be afraid or fear not 365 times. How many days are there in a year? So I'm guessing that that's probably important for us to fear not or do not fear. Because if it's mentioned that many times in the Word of God, I think we should probably take that to heart. You know, that might be a little important. The Lord might be saying something to us. You know? I mean, the next thing is you're going to see it written on the wall. You know? That's a lot, 365 times. You also know that fear and anxiety robs us from the blessings of God? You will lose out on so many things when you're living in fear and anxiety. Stress is a horrible thing. And there's lots of people who's gone off on stress leave or for whatever, they've had different things. And what is it? Like, you see the natural effects. They miss out on time at work. They miss out on paychecks. They miss out on doing different things. You know, pay is cut, all those. You know, it's just certain things like that that take place. There's repercussions that take place. When you got fear, anxiety, and stress in your life, it affects not you, but those around you as well, too. Now, and when you're dealing with those things as well, I mean, you're not able to function the way that you need to function. God's got big plans and big purposes for each and every one of us. And he's got a job for us to do. But if we're down and out and hiding and we're, you know, some people, and I've experienced this, to the point to where you're depressed and you're down, your anxiety and the fear and stress is just all crushing down on you. It feels like you're paralyzed, like you don't want to get out of bed. That's a horrible feeling, guys. And you know, that is not from God. God did not design me and you to be like that. Because in Scripture, it says time and time again on who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, what he has for us, all the blessings that he has for me and you, that he wants us well, healthy, and whole. He wants us full of joy. He wants us full of peace. Nowhere does it say, I want you full of stress and anxiety. That's my perfect plan for you. No, that's not the way it is. That's where the devil wants you, because he knows that if he can hold you there, you're going to miss it on a lot of things that God's got for you. And you're not going to be able to do what God's called you to do. It's getting quiet in here. Well, another question is, how can we live the God kind of life when we spend all of our time worrying and being afraid? Because that's not the God kind of life. All right, so I'm going to give you a few points here to take in your notes. So for the next about 3.5, 4 hours, maybe 7 hours, we'll get through them. So how do we combat fear? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, first off, how do we combat fear? We need to fully trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Turn over there in your Bibles, in the New King James Version. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, when we trust in our Heavenly Father, like any good father, he cares for us and he protects us. Not only that, he provides for us also. We have to come to the realization that our God is for us. And so we need to fully trust in him. We need to know him. If you want God's protection and you want all these things we just talked about, you need to know who the Father is. And the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus even said there in Scripture, no man comes to the Father except through me. You have to have salvation. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart, and that's salvation right there. And then all these things will be given to you. It belongs to you. Let me tell you, there's a lot of great things that belong to me and you. And once we know who our Father is, they're activated in our lives. I got 4 kids. They know who their dad is. And let me tell you something. They're not afraid to come and ask their dad for something. It drives me nuts. All right? They're all getting older now. And you know that as kids get older, they get more expensive. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, what was wrong? Okay, so our kids play hockey, right? Ben's not here tonight because he's working tonight at a hockey game of all places. But he's working. But I'm going to pick on Ben because he's not here. So Ben plays hockey. You can go to Canadian Tire. You can pick up a hockey stick for $40-$50, right? I mean, that's a wonderful hockey stick, right? No. Definitely not. Can't use it. It's not the right flex, hasn't got the right curves, not made of the right material, doesn't have the right kick point. You know, he'll go through the whole entire list of why that stick is no good. And then he'll come over, he said, Dad, I need this stick over here. And he'll point to this stick over here. I'm like, son, I am not remortgaging the house to buy you a hockey stick. Right? But, you know, but I mean, you got, you know, $40 pond hockey special over here. Or he wants this one. Now, I do understand that he does know the difference because I've actually seen him play with a cheap stick and I've seen him play with a more expensive stick, and there is a difference, right? There is a difference. I thought it was all baloney, but it's not. There's actually a difference. And this kid, when you put the proper tool in his hand, he can produce. It's real cool to watch, right? But you see, a good father, in my case, a sucker for punishment, I'm going to make sure he's got what he needs to be successful. Are you listening to me? So as much as it's a bit of a sacrifice for me on times to spend the money on one of those hockey sticks for him, it's worth it for him because then he produces and he can score goals, win games, make daddy happy, right? How much more does our Father in heaven want better for us? How much more will our Father in heaven bless us and make sure we have the correct tools that we need so we can be productive in what we're called to do? Are you listening? We have to know our Father. We have to trust in him. Because once we trust in him, and know that he's got our back and that he's going to provide for us, give us what we need, protect us, guide us, love us, protect us, all those things, that completely changes our outcome. What you got to worry about then? But yet we still try to get in our head sometimes and worrying and stressing about certain things. But you know, myself and my wife had this conversation with our kids, and it's like, listen, mom and dad's responsible for you. So we're going to take care of you. There's things that you need. There's things that you want. We're going to make sure you got all your needs. And definitely not going to get all your wants, but you're going to get some of them. Right? Our Father in heaven is much better than that, because he makes sure all of our needs are taken care of. And he weeds out our wants and tells, you're foolish. This is what you need. Because what I want is not what I need. And he's going to guide and protect me and guide me and show me what I need to use. Are you following me tonight? When you're full of fear and anxiety, you get paralyzed in a sense, and you cannot operate fully to your fullest potential. You have that block in your life which stops you from being productive. It hinders your life, and it stops you from being the person that God had intended you to be. All right. Now, here's the second point I have for you. So the first one is, how do we combat fear and anxiety? Number one was, we need to fully trust in God. Second one here is, we need to talk to the Father. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We don't come to God begging and whining and sooking and sulking. We come to God with hearts full of thanksgiving because we know who our Father is. And when we talk to him, right here, look, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. So you've got a situation you're dealing with? Go to the Father and talk about it. Ben needs a new hockey stick? He's going to come and talk to me about it. And he's going to come with boldness, I guarantee it. Dad, I need a new stick. Right? Am I right, Kendra? That's the way it goes. I just got you one. It's wore out. Settle down. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we come before God, we don't come and be like, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. God's not a spiritual ATM all the time like that. That's, you know, it's a give and take there. We got to have that relationship. In any relationship, there's a give and take. We got to communicate. But we got to have a heart full of thanksgiving. Because look at what he's done for us. We just think we just stand there like a, you know, somebody with their hand out all the time trying to get whatever they can. That's not the way it works. God's going to make sure what you need, but we need to make sure that our response and the way that we come before the Father is proper. We need to make sure we come with a heart of gratitude. That when we come to the Father, we come earnest, with a fear of the Lord, with a holy respect, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Because he is so good. Father, we thank you that you bless us. Father, we thank you that you supply all of our needs. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross. That, Father God, all of our sins, sickness, disease is taken away. That, Father God, it says in your word that you are going to supply all my needs. So, Father, I thank you right now that all my needs are met in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. Oh, Lord, help me! You know? No, we don't go. We come because we talk to him, because we have a relationship with him. We know who he is, and we talk to the Father. We are to be in constant communication with the Father. That's how you keep a healthy relationship. Husband and wives, if you want a healthy relationship, you got to communicate. You actually have to talk to your spouse. You need to know what's up. You really do. And you know what amazes me? Is that there's a lot of married people that don't talk. They don't know what's going on in each other's lives. Kendra knows what I'm thinking. scares the crap out of me. Like, get out of my head, woman. You know? It's bad enough I got Facebook reading my thoughts. Right? I got my wife in there too. You know? But seriously, there has to be communication for a healthy relationship. And it is true too. We've me and Kendra joke about this all the time. We're like, they definitely don't communicate, because you talk to one person about one thing, one spouse, and you talk to the other one about the same thing, and they have no idea what the other one had said about anything at any given time. And they had like a lot of time to talk about this. And we're like, do you not communicate? Right? But it's important to communicate. We have to be in constant communication with the Father. And we pray, we talk to Him, but God speaks to us, not necessarily in an audible voice all the time, but through His Word. This is God's letter directly written to you. Amen. Every word of this is for you. Right. Oh Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? Read the Bible! He's already said it, and it's recorded, black and white, and sometimes red. Yeah, what else do you want? You know? You can actually hit a button on your phone and listen to them. Listen to it being read out to you. Right? For those of us that, you know, struggle with reading, like I am this evening. But this is the Word of God. This is Him speaking to you. You got questions about stuff? The answer's in here. Oh, wow. You know, you're not alone. Scripture tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always there. He's always 100% accessible 100% of the time. When it comes to God, you can talk to Him at any moment of the day. And actually talks about how we're supposed to be continually communicating with the Father. You know? It says, watch and pray. Lord, help me. You know? What am I watching for? You know? Or you're watching TV and praying. I know when I'm watching hockey, I'm praying. Especially here lately with the Boston Bruins, there's a lot of praying. And it's a little more of, why, God, why? You know? I'm almost envious of those Toronto Maple Leafs fans, but I'll never say that out loud. You're going to have to erase that from the recording there, Varian. Too late. All right, so number one is, how do we combat fear? We need to fully trust in the Lord. Our second one was what? Talk to the Father. Here's the third one. You know, you don't have to carry that burden. It's our third point, is you don't have to carry that burden. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus to die on that cross. He took our sin and our sickness and our worry and our shame. It no longer belongs to me and you. We are the children of God, and we have been delivered from darkness. We have, remember, that we don't have to carry it anymore, but we give it to the Father. Just as the Scripture says, we cast all of our cares upon Him. It doesn't belong to me and you anymore. Oh boy, Pastor Steve, you don't know the stuff I'm going through. No, but God does. And His shoulders is a lot bigger than yours. We got to learn how to cast our stuff onto the Lord. A lot of times we're going through life being weighed down by way too much baggage. I mean, even the airlines now, they limit what you can take. You know? They limit the size of your carry-on you can have now, and they charge you a lot more if you want to take a suitcase. You know what I'm saying? But yet here we are going around in life, and we got, you know, a U-Haul trailer coming behind us with all of our stresses and our worries and our fears and our anxieties and all of our issues. You know? And what's that going to do to you? You ain't boarding no flight with that. You ain't going anywhere successful with that. You know? Man, when I like to travel, I like traveling light. I like to be able to get off the plane and get out of the airport and go enjoy myself. I don't want to be carting around all these things with me all the time. You got 3 or 4 baggage carts and suitcases and this stuff. When the kids were little, oh my goodness, take strollers and car seats and diaper bags and playpens. And well, I was just as well, why don't we just move? Like, you know, it was just unreal when we would travel and when we go a distance. You know, I remember trips to Newfoundland, and you know, I'm sure the people at the airport would look at us and be like, oh, they're those people. You know? I'd have to rent a jumbo jet for ourselves to put all the children's stuff in. Right? It was just a hindrance. And it was a hindrance taking all that stuff. So why do we choose to continue to carry all of our burdens? When the Lord says, cast all your cares on me. And that's what we need to learn to do. Is that when you're struggling with a relationship, what do? You cast your care on the Lord. When you're struggling in school and got final exams coming up or assignments or anything of the sort and you're stressing out about it, what do? Cast your care on the Lord. You know, when your bank account is laughing at you, what do? You laugh back at it and cast your care on the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? You got relationship issues. Cast your care on the Lord. Because he cares for you. He doesn't want you weighed down. He wants you blessed. And when you start casting your cares onto the Lord and start giving him those things and start handing over your life to him completely, well, you're going to see your steps going to get a little peppier. Because you're not going to be so weighed down anymore. You're going to see that wait a minute, that didn't seem so bad. Because the Lord's got me. And the Lord will start making ways out of circumstances that you never ever thought possible. You might have sat there and stared at the same problem for the last 6 years. And as soon as you make up your mind to give it to the Lord, oh, wait a minute, the Lord's got it handled already. I have personally seen that in my life to where I've looked at issues and circumstances in my life, be like, how in the world do I overcome this? And I mean to the point to where it would keep me awake at night. That's horrible. Steve needs sleep. Kenner's back there. Yes, he does. Right? But now, when you make up your mind and cast your cares onto the Lord and you give those things to him, let me tell you something. He's the way maker. He's going to create a way for you to get out of that. And it's not always the way that you expect or how you understand. Because he's done that in my life more than once. There's been times when, you know what, finances has been a little tight. But you know what we've done? We've cast our cares unto the Lord. And within a very short amount of time, it was more than taken care of. The Lord is a Lord of an abundance. And he continues to bless. When you least expect it, he will make a way. And he will bless. I'm going to tell you this week, the Lord bless my family. And he continues to bless my family. We were just Sunday morning, handed an envelope. And praise God, it was more than enough in that envelope. That's my God. Are you listening? And you know, y'all know I clear snow. I'm sick of snow now. But this winter was more than enough. God made a way. Because we had some extra expenses this year. But God made a way, and he blessed us with more. Amen? That's not bragging about my family. That's bragging about my God. And I'm sure I can go right around this room, and there's a lot of you guys can got the same testimony. Oh, he's a God of more than enough. But as soon as you start casting your cares over to him, allow him to work within the mess, you'll see the things happen. You'll see stuff start changing around. Now, I'm just not talking financially either. Your attitude will change. Your relationships will change. You know, people start liking you more. Because when you're stressed out, you're grumpy. I'm serious. Some people don't wear stress very well. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, you look like it. You know? Well, I mean, none of you guys in here are like that. I mean, we're all stress-free. I mean, that's right. Now, let's keep going. Is this good? Here's another one for you. Guard yourself in your thought life. We want to combat fear and anxiety and all those things. You need to guard yourself in your thought life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. But test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless unto the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. Like I said today, earlier, we turn on the news and you hear about all this negative stuff. We don't have to do a very hard test to find out a lot of that is no good. A lot of that is garbage. The majority of it is trash. But we have to hold on to what is good. What is good, ladies and gentlemen? The Word of God. And those things that line up with the Word of God. That's what is good. So that's what we need to have. We need to make sure that our minds and our hearts, we're focused on those things. If you're continually, day after day, hour after hour, feeding yourself full of negative things, what's your brain and your thought life going to develop into? Just negative. It's just brutal stuff, man. And I'm getting on my soapbox right now because I'm up here. I got an issue with some of the things that, you know, we give our kids to watch and play on the consoles, those video games. Some of those things are not very uplifting all the time. Some of it can be pretty vulgar, you know? And when kids are literally spending hours upon hours upon hours upon hours every day playing those video games, I mean, what do you think is going into them? Oh, it's just a game. Yeah, but what's feeding them? Right? Now, that's not a very common thing to talk about. It's not a very popular opinion. But I'm going to be honest with you is that if we want to make sure that our kids and our even ourselves, we need to make sure we're putting the proper things in. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and throw out the kids' games because we're going to have an uprising. But I do think that there needs to be, you know, there needs to be some boundaries on some stuff. And there are some certain games and certain things that they probably shouldn't be doing. Because there's other alternatives out there, for sure. And I don't want to get all super hyper spiritual or anything like that, but you are what you eat. Right? So if there's negative coming in all the time, it's going to be coming out of you. And this is just not from a Christian standpoint. In the secular world, there's actually research done about this as well. And they will tell you about the kids that are focused and hyper-focused on these games, and even adults that hyper-focus on these games, it becomes so much a part of them, it affects the way they think, the way they react, the way they talk. It affects their attitude towards the world and towards others. We need to be putting in good things on the inside. Are you listening?
Yeah.
It's why it's important for families to be coming to church. It's important for families to be praying together. It's important that the kids see mom and dad praying and reading the Bible. It's important that families have a spiritual grounding foundation. Because there's a lot of trash out there in that world, in this world, that's trying to tear that apart. A lot of kids are suffering with these certain stresses and anxieties and fears and whatnot because of all this garbage that's coming into their lives. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we're guarding and we're giving them the tools that they need so that they can be triumphant.
Amen?
Amen? It's getting quiet. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Nowhere does it say all the negative, ugly, gory, gross, disgusting, broken, whatever things. That's what you need to put in there. But it says, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable, whatever is of good repute, or wherever there is excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually, not once in a while, it says continually, think on these things. Hallelujah. We got to make sure we're putting the right things in. Because if we keep putting the negative things, scary things, ugly things, things that's going to stress us out, that's all we're going to be. All right, here's the next one for you. Next, number 5 on how to deal with these anxieties and fears is we need to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we all know the scripture verse in the New Living, says, not being dominated by fear and anxiety. Sorry, that's what I put right there. Put it up there. For we live by believing and not by seeing. What do we live by believing? What are we believing? What do we believe? We believe on the things of God. We believe on the word. Not by seeing. You know, it's so easy. And Thomas found himself in this mess back in the scriptures. Right? He said, I won't believe that Jesus is alive until I touch the nails, scars. Right? He wanted to stick his fingers in Jesus' nail hole things in his hand. Dude, you're gross. You know? It's not our fault you were out washing your hair or whatever you were doing. Everyone was there hanging out together, praying, and you're out doing whatever you're doing. But no, he wanted to see. And Jesus showed up. But now Thomas definitely got the bitter end of that stick because that stuck with him for over 2,000 years, being called Doubting Thomas, because he had to see in order for him to believe. But you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't always see in order to believe it. Because let me tell you something, there's a lot of things out there. I haven't seen God in a form, but I believe him. I've definitely felt them. Are you listening? What about you? Have you felt them? I've witnessed his power. I've seen it. You know? Jesus hasn't showed up to me in a human form, but I've heard his voice. I believe it. You know? That's like the wind. You can't see the wind. You can see it's what it does, the effects of it, but you can't see it. But you can feel it, can't you? It gets windy here, you know? I'm originally from the East Coast, from Newfoundland, and it gets real windy out there. We moved here because there's supposed to be no wind. Fake news. It gets windy here. Real windy. We walk by faith. Not being dominated by fear and anxiety is a faith step. Like it says there, for we live by believing and not by seeing. We are to believe what the word of God says. And we are not to live by what our senses say. When we are being sense ruled, we're allowing the flesh to rule. But that's what gets us in trouble. When we step out in faith, well, we're being led by the Spirit. And we're allowing God to guide us. And it's not always the most comfortable thing in the world to step out in faith. Because you really don't know what's next. I've used this illustration before, but in Indiana Jones. He's going across that big cavern, you know, and there's a riddle there. And you have to figure it out, and talks about how you got to take the step. And it just looks like it's a big open chasm. And as soon as he steps out, looks like he's going to fall right off. But no, the path shows up. Steps out, steps out, steps out. We don't always see what we're stepping out into, but God does. God knows, right? So we live by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. That's what we need to be doing tonight, guys. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to leave you with this passage of scripture here too. Matthew chapter 14, 25 to 32. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus had come toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and they were in fear and they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter calls out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" Then they climbed back into the boat and the wind stopped. It's so easy when you're looking at Christ and step out, okay. But as soon as we take our eyes off of him and we start focusing on the wrong things again, we are going down. Peter got wet. Peter was walking on the water, and he was seeing the cool things. He was walking with Jesus on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Christ, and he started realizing, oh, it's stormy, it's windy, it's a storm, it's gross, it's chaos. Oh, no. He's swimming. He's going down. "Lord, save me." And you know what Jesus did? He didn't go, "Told you so." He instantly reached down and grabbed him. But after he got him up, he said, "You a little faith. You should know the difference. Focus on me." And that's what we need to do. Is that when we feel like we're sinking, focus on him. When things are going down, you focus on him. Focus on him. Even if you take your eyes off him for a minute and you start to go back, quickly get your focus back on him. Because if things aren't going right in your life right now, check your relationship with the Father. If things are not going the way that it should be right now, check your relationship with Christ. Because let me tell you something, that is key for our success. I'll get you all to stand up. We'll close there. Worry, stress, anxiety, fear is not from God. And it doesn't belong to a child of God. And the scriptures tells us that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a what?
Sound.
A sound mind." Say, "I'm not crazy." You keep telling yourself that. We don't have to be found by fear, and we are the children of God, joined heirs with Jesus, full of blessing and the righteousness of God. We are born again, set free, and delivered. God lives in us, and his power is alive in us. Jesus overcame death so that we may live free. Live bold, live strong, live the life that God has for us. We are no longer bound by fear. He made a way for us to be free. So ladies and gentlemen, why don't we walk in it? Why don't we cast our cares on the Lord? Why don't we focus on the things that he has before us?